do you do when you face adversity? Do you throw in the towel and quit? Do you gripe and complain and moan and groan and get bitter and resentful and follow in the footsteps of Job's wife, curse God, and die? Or do you trust God and keep going and say with Job, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And our subject today is overcoming adversity. You know, the Bible is filled with testimony after testimony after testimony of people who overcame adversity. Now, adversity is part of the deal in life. Why is that? Because we have an adversary, the devil, who opposes us. Jesus told the disciples in John 16:33, "In the world, you have tribulation, you have distress, you have pressures, you have troubles, you have problems, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world." Now, to help us in this discussion about overcoming adversity is a friend of mine who knows a lot about overcoming adversity. He's a professional golfer. And golf is the, in my opinion, the most difficult sport a person can play. And my friend, Zach Fisher, has overcome so much in his career. He is the only man to win the qualifying school for professional golf twice. And he recently, just last weekend, won the Argentine Open. Zach, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Great to be on with you.
Well, I was following your latest victory, and pretty exciting how you did that. And you did that although you were overcoming flu-like symptoms all that week. Is that right?
Yes. It seemed like kind of everything was against me. Just about the only thing that went well was the flight down there. I didn't have any delays, and it's a 10-hour flight down there. Probably one of the more difficult things on me, just because I'm not able to sleep on planes or anything like that. And I got behind in my sleep, and when you don't sleep, it's really difficult on your immune system, and it just kind of compiled on itself, and I'm actually still recovering right now as we speak.
All right, Zach, so your love for golf started when you were just a little kid playing with your dad. Is that right?
No, yeah, definitely, yeah. We still play golf all the time whenever I'm in town.
All right, and that is a sport that you just took to very quickly?
Yeah, I grew up playing a lot of different sports, just kind of like as any kid. I mean, I highly encourage all parents to not get your kid into a specific sport until they're at least 10, 11, 12 years old. Just because they don't know what they want. I didn't know what I wanted. I love playing baseball, but my dad, whenever I was 11 years old, made me make a decision on was I going to play baseball or going to play golf, and I chose the golf route.
Now, to me, Zach, golf is so hard. It's one of those games that looks easy, but it's so hard when you try and play it. I mean, I've told people this before. It's kind of like marriage. You know, marriage looks easy on the outside. It's not easy when you are married. But golf is like that. We watch it on TV, and the guys aren't sweating, you know, primarily, and they're just kind of walking around, and then you just swing the club, and the ball goes where you want it to go. Is golf difficult? Was it difficult for you, or was that something that you had just a natural affinity for from day one?
I think anybody would be lying to you if they said that golf wasn't difficult. I think the most difficult thing about golf is just that nobody can control how you play. You're the only one who can control how you play. You're playing the course. You're not playing a person. And in any other sport, you have somebody who can always control what you do. In baseball, you have a pitcher trying to strike out a batter. In football, you know, you have defense versus offense. In tennis, you know, it's one-on-one, one guy could hit an incredible shot and the other guy could hit an incredible passing shot and the guy could do nothing. But in golf, you know, every single shot you hit is on you. I mean, you may have conditions that can affect you, but the fact that you hit that shot, that's one of the most difficult things to overcome. And kind of in life is the same way. If you make a mistake, it's kind of hard to forgive yourself. And it's the same way in golf. If you make a mistake in golf, the most difficult thing is to forgive yourself.
Yeah, and keep going. Now, your dad is a good friend of mine, and your uncle, Bobby, is one of my dear friends. And so I play golf with your dad and your uncle a lot. And they're kind to play with me because I am terrible at golf. My scores are anywhere
from... You've gotten way better.
It's gone south again. So I told somebody the other day, I shoot anywhere from 85 to infinity. It's just one of those things. But... okay, so you played golf at the University of Texas in Arlington and had obviously had success in college and went pro in 2013, is that right?
Correct. Or 2011.
2011. Okay, that was Q school for you? 2011, the first Q school?
That was the first year I played Q school. I didn't get through Q school until I started in 11, 12. It would have been my third year playing.
Okay, so you've been to Q school in total 4 times?
More than that. 11, 12, 13, 18, 19, 21. 6 times.
Wow. Now, Zach, I read online where pros call Q school, qualifying school, they call it the gauntlet of golf. Explain to our listeners why Q school is so hard.
Q school is so difficult because, first of all, it's very expensive. When I first started playing it, it was $44,500 just to sign up. And now I think it's all the way up to $6,000. And it's several stages. So you don't necessarily go just into one stage and you go to the PGA Tour or Korn Ferry Tour. You start at basically stage one. If you get through stage one, you go to stage two. And if you don't get through stage two, you've wasted $4,500 or $6,000 now. And so there's a lot of pressure to get to the final stage because the final stage guarantees you a card at the end saying that you're a member of the tour. And so the most pressure there is that second stage because if you miss it by one shot, you've wasted all your year and all your money trying to get to that point. So that's why it's regarded as the gauntlet.
Yeah, and that hits a lot of, I mean, there are a lot of good golfers that play in the Q school that don't ever get out of Q school.
Absolutely. There's a lot of them on the PGA Tour right now that Jordan Spieth, he never made it through Q school.
Okay, so how does he get to be a great pro golfer if you can't pass Q school?
So there's different avenues, kind of back doors, if you could call it that. He did it through sponsor exemptions, and so every tournament gives a sponsor exemption to different players, and the one that the year he didn't get through Q school, he got a sponsor exemption into the John Deere Classic, and that's when he won. And so when he won, he automatically became a member of the tour.
Okay. That seems like a better way to go, Zach, than to grind it out at Q school.
It's cheaper, I can tell you that, because you don't have to. The most difficult thing, I've never received a sponsor exemption in all of my career. I've asked, I've written, I've done videos, I've done just about everything possible, and I think those are the most difficult thing to get in professional sports is an exemption to play in a golf tournament.
Okay, so this the two things that really jump out at me, winning Q school twice and then winning this latest tournament where you were sick, it's hard to play golf when you're healthy, but when you're sick, was the weather good there in Argentina?
It's summer down there, so it was actually very hot. It was kind of funny because in on Thursday, the first day of the tournament, it was probably, 65, 68 degrees that morning. And they're used to it being summertime this time of the year. And so I played pretty well in the first round. And so I was getting interviewed at the end. And they said, what did you think about the cold weather this morning? And I was like, man, if it's 65 degrees this time of year, I mean, that's hot here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think today the high in Little Rock is only supposed to be 61 or 62. And that's supposed to be a really warm day. So I kind of laughed. I was like, well, we're in wintertime, so I'm used to the cold weather.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you overcome the sickness to win the tournament?
You know, honestly, I can't take any credit for the win. It was just the Lord was behind the whole thing. There were so many things that happened during the week to make it to where I could even play. So in the tournaments, since there's so many people in the field, you have different times that you go and play. And so if you play early on Thursday, you play late on Friday. If you play late on Thursday, you play early on Friday. Well, I got the early late. And so since I got early late, I was able to play. If I would have gotten the late early times on Thursday and Friday, there's no way I could have played. And so that was one thing that the Lord was looking out for me on that. And the fact that we got caddies on the last 2 days really, really helped as well, just to conserve energy. And honestly, the fact that when you're sick, I knew that I needed to conserve as much energy as possible. And so I didn't have time to get nervous or, I didn't have the energy. I couldn't use that energy to be nervous or to be angry at any point, just because I knew if I did anything, like, that was another calorie that I needed to just hit the shot on the next hole.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of, when you're sick, it's kind of also kind of a blessing when it comes to sports, because you also have no expectations. You go into it, you feel terrible. And so you're not expecting to play well. And so that's another thing that kind of helps athletes whenever they are sick, just because they're not expecting to, go out and have a 30-point game in basketball or, in my case, to go out and be tied for second after the first two rounds, just because, I'm just trying to get through the day. It was so difficult. And so sometimes sickness can kind of be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. I played a lot of basketball, didn't play at a super high level, but all through high school. And I noticed times when I was sick, yeah, you didn't have time to get nervous because you were just feeling crummy. So it was like, hey, I'm just going to play. And I still remember Michael Jordan having a monster game when he was getting IV fluids on the bench or in the locker room. And so, sometimes that can be a blessing. Kind of a blessing in disguise. So, well, that was an awesome victory. I watched a little video clip, Zach, of you making that last putt, which was pressure deluxe. So you didn't have to go to a playoff. And I think that's the other thing that makes golf so difficult is there's so many pressure shots. It's different from other sports. Playing basketball, you don't have, unless you get fouled with no time left on the clock and you're alone at the free throw line, that's kind of golf on a regular basis. So it...
Yeah, you could equate it to like a kicker trying to kick the field goal to win or the extra point to tie, or, it's kind of the same thing. They're on the island, and if they miss it, everybody's let down, and if they make it, everybody is excited. So it's kind of the same thing in golf, with those pressure shots.
Definitely is. Well, we're talking to professional golfer Zach Fisher, who just won the Argentine Open. He's the only man to ever win qualifying school twice. He won it in 2013 and then 2021. And so you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are up against a break, but we'll be coming back talking to Zach about overcoming adversity. Don't go away.
Bye. By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
At Christmas time, we sing a lot of songs. And it makes sense, because even the Gospel of Luke records several stories of people singing when the Messiah was coming. Hi, I'm Charles Morris, and all week, join me on Haven Today, we'll be looking at some of those special songs in a series called The First Songs of Christmas.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees, and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before December 31st. Great savings, great healthcare. Find out more. Call now. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And as you heard from the break, the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, one of the great, great promises in Scripture, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God works the good things and He works the bad things, the sweet things and the sorrowful things. He works them all together for good through the power of the cross so that our lives can experience the blessing and so that the Lord can be glorified. Well, we're talking to professional golfer Zach Fisher. Zach is a friend of mine, and his dad and his uncle are really, really good friends of mine. I play golf with them a lot. And Zach is an incredible guy who walks with the Lord, loves his wife, loves his little baby girl, and is a great witness for Christ out on the golf course. Now, we're talking about overcoming adversity. And so, Zach, I want to go back. I think it was 2020 when you played in the golf tournament at Texarkana Country Club, and that's your home course, and you didn't make the cut. That had to be one of the lowest points. And I think I read somewhere where you were contemplating maybe I should quit.
That's definitely the turning point of my career. It actually it wasn't even 2020. It was actually last year, 2021. I was playing in my home tournament, my home golf course. and playing incredibly well, just playing some of the best golf I've played in my life leading up to it. And I played really well in the Pro-Am, and I shoot, you know, 9-under, played just perfect golf. And I go into the first round, and as soon as I got to the golf course, I could instantly feel myself get very anxious and very uptight, just because, you know, now I can't, I'm playing in the tournament. It's totally different. And so I go into that round, and I remember the 15th hole, I hit it in the water on my tee shot, and ended up making a triple bogey. And my dad was caddying for me, and I was just so distraught. I'm literally, you know, walking off the golf course because I'm done with golf. I'm just so messed up mentally that I'm doing this in front of, you know, all of my home crowd, and I'm walking off the golf course, and my dad's like, "Let's just finish the round." And so I end up finishing the round. I go to my swing coach and really, really good friend, Jeff Jones, there in Texarkana, and I go into his office, and I'm literally crying just because I feel like, you know, my career is over. I feel like there's no way I could keep doing this. It's physically taxing, mentally taxing. And I go in there, and I go, "Jeff, I've lost it. I don't know. I can't play golf anymore." And he kind of looks at me, and he smiles, and he goes, "You haven't lost it." He goes, "You're putting way too much pressure on yourself." He goes, there's everybody who loves you and cares about you, they're the ones who care the least about your score, and they care the most about you. And he goes, "I'll tell you what, tomorrow's another day." He goes, "You can quit golf after that day." But he goes, "You go tomorrow," and he goes, "I don't care if you shoot 90. He goes, "Or if you shoot 59, he goes, "I want you to go into that day and just not care about what happens." And I go, "Okay," I agreed to it. And I go into that day and I shoot 62, which was one of my lowest rounds ever in competitive golf. And the other crazy thing was the day before I played with another guy who was from London. I never talked to him. I was so into myself and so terrified of what could happen that I didn't even pay attention to him. The next day I found out his wife was playing in the tournament too, and you know, I found out he's from London, but now he lived all the way over in Hong Kong, and like found out all these cool details about him. And that's when I played better, because I took less interest in myself and more interest in others. And I went back and I looked at why that happened, and that was the biggest key. And I'm like, so basically what I need to be doing is I don't need to be going out there playing for myself. Like that's not what the Lord's called me to do. And I need to go out there and I need to reach other people and find out their stories and, you know, connect with them, which is what the Lord calls us to do. And ever since then, I mean, I've had bad tournaments, don't get me wrong, but I've had so much more peace on the golf course, and I've played so much better just knowing that I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for him. And so basically one of the lowest points in my life has turned out to be one of the biggest turning points in my professional golf career.
Man, that is so cool. And that, as we shared Romans 8:28, that just fits in there. So what you think is the worst, God can turn it to be the best. Now, Zach, let me ask you this, because you've been married for 7 years?
8 years.
8 years. Okay. And Hallie is 2 years old?
She's going to be 2 in February.
Okay. It's being a pro golfer. It may look really glamorous from the outside looking in, but it is a grind as you travel all the time and you're gone from what, Tuesday to Sunday night most of the weeks when you're playing. How are you able to juggle being a good husband and a dad with so much travel and the fact that golf can knock you into the dirt emotionally? So how do you deal with that?
I I don't necessarily, I think it's about me as much as it is about my wife and how much she has done for our family. She basically is, you know, a single mom, essentially, whenever I'm on the road, because like you were saying, I'm not home a ton. Fortunately, you know, living in Little Rock, I can come home because we're so centralized in the United States. If we're playing in Raleigh, South Carolina, I could still come home for a couple of days and then fly to Raleigh. And then the other great thing is a lot of the tournaments are closer to like the Midwest area, so they can come to some of the tournaments. And but she is the hero of our family, honestly. I may be the professional golfer, but she's the superhero, and she is the driving force behind our family, you know, having success in golf. And the fact that, you know, our little girl is super smart, and man, she is a spitfire. So the fact that she could keep up with her, and then, you know, when I came home after Argentina and I was sick, she's been taking care of me through all this sickness. And there's always a great woman behind a strong man, I feel like. And she's not behind me. She's right there beside me for sure. And I think that's the best thing about our marriage is the fact that she is such an incredible woman, and she's an incredibly godly woman. She pushes me to be a better husband through you know, us go. We found a great church here in Little Rock. We've been trying to find a church here in Little Rock for a while, and she helped, you know, us find that church, and we love it here. And
where do y'all go, Zach?
It's called Collective Church. Here in Little Rock, and it's kind of a smaller church, but we're rapidly growing, which is it's really cool. Actually having to go with two services now because we're getting so big, and a very young church, which is really cool too. So I've got a lot more friends now here in Little Rock just through that.
Okay, so your dad tells me a funny story about your wife, that sometimes she's on the bag with you. She's caddying for you in tournaments, and if you hit a bad shot, she'll tell you, "Well, that wasn't terrible," and that's typically not what you want to hear. But anyway, trying to be positive.
That's her saying. It's not horrible. That's what she always would say. It's not horrible.
Well, okay, Zach. So when you got back from Texarkana, and you had the turnaround. So I shot a 78. It was awful. I'm thinking of quitting. To I shot a 62. So are you leaving Texarkana to go home with a renewed sense of this is what God wants me to do, or were you still thinking, I don't know, maybe I need to quit? Because you at that point you had to go back to Q school again, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was one of the crazy things. So I ended up that year. So towards the end of the year, I really started playing some really good golf. And another really good friend of mine here in Little Rock, his name is Peyton Wilhoit. He and I went to a tournament in North Carolina. I finished second in that tournament. And so I ended up making a little bit of extra money just to kind of cover my expenses from 2021. But, you know, that expense of Q school was definitely weighing on me. And I was contemplating back and forth whether or not I should even, you know, pay, if that was fiscally responsible, you know, kind of praying about it and, you know, asking my wife, what do you think we should do? And somebody came from behind the scenes and they were like, if I'll pay for Q school, if you'll, you know, you'll go play it. And I'm like, well, if you're going to pay for it, then yeah, I'll do it for sure.
But so, now, Zach, the listeners need to know it's more than just the entry fee. It's hotel costs. It's travel. Exactly. There's a lot of hidden costs in there.
Absolutely. I think the entry fee last year was $5,250. And I think after all of the stages, I probably spent close to $8,000 after a flight, you know, flights to places and hotels and meals, and I had to pay a caddy. And so, like, yeah, it adds up. It's very, very, very expensive.
So when you think about how God has gifted you and what God has, the doors he has opened for you, how has your faith factored into your career as a professional golfer?
I mean, honestly, I'd be lying if I said that, you know, I was always so faithful, and I always believed, you know, every single day that the Lord would, you know, provide for my family. And, you know, every single day, I feel like I'm tested in the fact that the devil just kind of puts that little thought in your head, like, you know, maybe today, you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher day, or, you know, maybe you're not going to be able to make that payment, that house payment or that car payment or whatever. And I think that a lot of the times, if you could track on my career, a lot of the times whenever I would start having success, I would lean more into myself. And then whenever I would have hard times, I feel like that's when I would, you know, look to the Lord and ask him for help. And that's not at all how it's supposed to be done. And I feel like now that I'm 33 years old and I've grown up, I feel like I've gotten a lot better about, you know, trying to always look to the Lord, and also having, you know, a very godly wife. She always points out whenever, even when we're in good times, that, you know, we should always be, you know, faithful to the Lord through giving, you know, tithes and offerings, and, you know, giving, you know, to the poor or any needy people or anything like that. And I think one of my spiritual gifts is, I enjoy like giving to other people. And, I think sometimes I also am very, I don't like to spend money, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I think that sometimes I'll kind of clench towards, you know, if times are tough, I want to keep my money. I think that's one of the hardest things for people to let go of is to just let God just kind of let go and just say, look, you got it. And I think that was one of the crazy things in 2021 was, we had to pay some extra taxes towards the end of the year. And, I had a good tournament. And so we were actually finally in the positive for once. And we were feeling good financially, but we still had to pay our taxes. And then I also had tithe. And so I knew whenever I had to tithe, we were going to go back into the, you know, not necessarily in the red, but we were going to be a lot more.
The plane was close to the ground.
Money.
Yes.
Yes. And I remember I wrote that check to the church, and then like the next week we ended up getting, like, I can't remember if it was a tax refund or something crazy in the mail. And it just made me realize that, you know, money is so trivial. It's the Lord doesn't care about money. He just cares about your heart, and he wants you to always give him everything you possibly can. And I think that's why money is such a big deal to the Lord, because he knows how much it means to us in the world, you know, just being able to, you know, feed your family. That's a big thing, and you need money to do that. And so, but whenever you can lean on him and let him, you know, find a way to give you food, that makes him more happy than, you know, you just being able to go to the store and buy food.
Amen.
And so it's just being a believer and knowing that he is faithful.
Amen.
Makes you just be able to believe in him so much more.
Amen. Well, we're talking to professional golfer Zach Fisher. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be taking your calls after the break, 888-589-8840. Our subject is overcoming adversity, and Zach has overcome much adversity. So don't go away, and the phone lines will be open. Call in, and let's talk.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. One of the toughest challenges for caregivers is to detach from the poor conduct of our loved one. Chronic pain, dementia, pharmaceuticals, fear, those things can cause all types of behavior issues. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Regardless of what's going on with them, we don't have to take it personally, even if it sounds personal. As long as our self-worth is tied to the opinion of someone else, we're never going to be a healthy person. You are an extraordinary individual created in the image of God, and amazingly, you show up to care for an impaired loved one. They may pop off at you, say hurtful things, and berate you, but remember, they are impaired on some level. Why would you attach your value to a sickness? Listen, they're not doing it to you, they're just doing it. Let it go on past you and go about your day feeling confident you're doing the best you can with what you have and what you know.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope, a ministry for the wounded and those who care for them. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They're great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm talking to professional golfer Zach Fisher. We're talking about overcoming adversity. Now, anybody who has ever played golf knows that golf is a very, very difficult sport. Probably the most difficult sport a person can play. So many different shots, so many different with terrain, elements, things like that. It just makes it very, very hard, and it's easy to get down on yourself. And so to be a professional golfer, you have to be able to overcome much adversity and difficulty in your mind and just on the course and things like that. So if you have a question about overcoming adversity, or if you have a story or something that would be pertinent for the topic today, I'd love to take your call, 888-589-8840. Perhaps you have a question for Zach. I know that he would be more than glad to answer your question. If you'd like to follow Zach, he's on Twitter at Zach, Z-A-C-K, Fish, F-I-S-C-H, 3. And his last name is spelled with a C, F-I-S-C-H-E-R. And so, Zach, let's talk about 2023. What's on the horizon for you?
Well, 2023 is going to be a it's kind of going to be a similar year. Just the schedule on the Corn Ferry Tour is very similar to last year. I'm going to start in the Bahamas in January, which sounds like an amazing place. But whenever we're on the tour, we don't get to do a ton of sightseeing or anything like that. But it will be warm, which is nice. And then we go to Panama and the country Panama and the country Colombia. So we start off outside the country for the first four events. And then we kind of have like a mini break going in after that. So I'll kind of have a little bit more time off, which is nice, just to kind of get, you know, everything in order. And then we finally play our first tournament in the States after those 5 weeks. So just basically trying to get my game ready, get my body healthy. Those are the biggest things coming up in 2023. But the cool thing is this year I got to have an off season for the first time, which was a lot of fun, especially having a toddler and getting to spend a lot of time with my wife and my little girl, which is awesome. And getting to we're going to Branson next week, which will be a lot of fun. And then Christmas is the week after that. So this year, I know it's busy for everybody, but it's a lot of fun. It really is, especially with the little one.
Hey, Zach, let me ask you this, because you know the job of a professional golfer, you eat what you kill. I mean, it's not a lot of guaranteed money in there unless you're on the Live Tour. But guys that are on the Corn Ferry Tour, they're fighting to make it. And there are a lot of expenses associated with golf. And so how are you able to block out, you know, you talked about the field goal kicker that, hey, you got to make this 40-yard field goal to win, and you're either going to be a hero or zero. And so your dad told me in the Argentine Open on hole 18, you have to two-putt, and you're 40 feet out downhill. So that's mm-hmm. That's not an easy two-putt.
No, it was probably one of the harder two-putts of the whole week, even under normal circumstances. I think that in sports, for us athletes, you try to make the game as similar as practice, if that makes sense. So whenever I was practicing, getting ready for the tournament, you know, I practiced a lot of those long putts. But whenever you're, you know, if you see a regular person putting, they may be just kind of putting back and forth. But whenever I'm on the putting green, I'm constantly trying to get a feel of how the slopes feel, and I'm trying to make it as much like the actual tournament as possible. It's never going to happen, because you still can't imitate emotion and you know, feelings of any or anything like that. But you're trying to make that clock in your head tick at the same exact speed. You don't want it to, you know, tick at 1.5 times. You want to tick right on the same exact amount of time as, like, if you're reading the putt, going into the putt, everything needs to be exactly the same. And I think that's the key to dealing with the pressure of the anxiety. And then the other thing is just kind of like, just let it go. And honestly, it sounds bad, but just not care. You know, if you start caring, that, you know, and you start making it in your head, you know, if I two-putt this, I could win the Argentina Open. I could go to the British Open. If you start thinking about that, you're not going to focus on the putt. You're going to be focusing on something else. And so you're trying to keep your focus on the attained goal. And I think that's the same way in the spiritual life. You know, if you start thinking about, you know, trying to meet that deadline, or you're trying to do certain things a certain way, but you're not focusing on the Lord, then you're never gonna achieve anything. And so I think it's kind of the same way in sports. And I think that's kind of why Paul talks about, you know, he talks about running in sports a lot in his letters. And I think it's kind of the same thing. You know, you're running a race. You're looking towards the goal. You're not looking at all the people next to you cheering. You're not thinking about, oh, if I win this race, you're just trying to get to the goal. And I think that's the same way in golf. You're just trying to, I'm just trying to two-putt. That was my only goal. And honestly, if I get the ball close to the hole, maybe it goes in the hole. You never know. And also the other thing was Linus, the other guy I'm playing with, he could have chipped in, and then I'd have had to make the putt to win or just two-putt to tie. So I can't focus on all the outcomes. I just have to focus on what is right in front of me.
Well, I know in the Christian life, you know, if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can handle anything that comes our way because he gives us strength. And so you have chosen a profession, Zach, that just kind of brings all those things out every time you hit the course. So let me ask you this, because I know you love golf. I know you love to play with your dad, with your uncle, with your brother-in-law. Is golf still, even though it's your profession, is it still fun to just play?
So if you talk to a lot of golfers who are professional golfers, they try to get away from golf. They don't like playing, I guess, as much. It's more of a job. And I think for a little while, I kind of thought that was kind of how it was supposed to be, when you're supposed to, you know, get away and just not, and try to find something other than golf. And then I think one of the things that's made me enjoy golf even more is the fact that I just kind of embrace, I love golf. I mean, I could go out and I could play with four people who aren't as good as me and have a blast. And I think that's the joy. You just have to have joy in playing golf, and I can't go out there and treat it like a tournament whenever I'm playing with my dad or you or my uncle or anything like that. I just have to go out there and just enjoy being out there with you guys and the fellowship you guys bring. And I think that's when I realized that, I've had so much more fun playing golf. It's been just two different golf, if that makes sense. You know, you got tournament golf and then you got fun golf, and I've really enjoyed playing fun golf, if that makes sense.
Okay, so golf is the one sport, anybody that's listening who has played golf, that can really make people angry. You know, different from other sports. I've played a lot of basketball. Basketball doesn't necessarily make you angry, because if you're not shooting the ball well, you can rebound, you can play defense, you can do other things. Golf, as you said, it's just you and the course. So how do you handle that as a pro when you hit a bad shot, to not get into a real negative, angry mindset?
I think that's the most difficult thing about golf in general. And if I had a perfect answer for that, I mean, basically the perfect answer would be to just focus on, you know, being out there and having the opportunity to play in the tournament, and just think about all the positive things and have that attitude of thankfulness. And just realize that God's goodness is so great. That's the easiest way to get through it. But I'm just going to be the first one to say I'm not the best at that. And it's very difficult, because it's, you know, I feel like Satan really puts that thought in your head of, you know, that moment you think, you know, it's, you know, it, this isn't that bad. He's like, well, no, you could have made that three-footer. If you would have made that three-footer, we would be two under right now. But when you miss that, now we're one under, you're never going to make another birdie. You know, he's throwing mm-hmm. all these like negative things at you.
Right.
And I think that's the most difficult thing is sometimes it may not even be you, the quote self-talk. It could be just, you know, Satan is trying to bury you and trying to make you think, you know, you're not good enough. You can't do that. There's no way you can make another birdie.
Right.
And the fact that if you can just stay positive and say, you know, I can make another birdie. Like, I missed a three-footer, but, you know, I may make a birdie on a hole I'm not supposed to make a birdie on. I think those are the battle is your head, because
yeah.
the self-talk is the biggest thing. If you can just stay positive and just know that if you just because you made a mistake doesn't make, you know, the whole round terrible. Like, you can still come back from that one little mistake.
Yeah, that's a good word. Now, that is the Christian life, because the devil tries to fill our minds with negatives. You're never going to make it. It's never going to work. God's not going to meet your need. God doesn't love you. All those negatives that we hear on a constant basis. And that's why the Bible says that when we fix our mind on Jesus, our eyes on Jesus, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And so that makes all the difference in the world. Well, we're going to the phone lines. We have Cindy from Virginia on the line. Cindy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I used to sub in a high school in Lowndes County, Virginia for ESL, and one of the teachers told me that golf stands for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden. Can you confirm or deny that?
I can personally attest to you that that is not the case, because my wife she just actually came to me the other day and she's like, we need to go out. We need to go play. I haven't had my yearly round. And, so if I said that there was gentlemen only, ladies forbidden, that would not be a wise decision on my part.
Yeah, I think Cindy, somebody's telling you a story there. I don't know where they came up with the name golf, but you know, it's.
I mean, I think there are men's clubs all throughout the country, but that's few and far between now. But I mean, I think even one of the most prestigious clubs in the world, Augusta National, even has lady members. I think Condoleezza Rice is a member there now. So I think it's definitely reaching young women now a lot more too, and it's definitely way more inclusive with women golfers now than it ever has been.
Yeah. Well, anything else, Cindy?
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the program. Well, Zach, let me ask you this, because people like to know, professional golfer, how far do you hit it off the tee?
I'm not one of the longest hitters by any means. I normally hit my drive in the air about 290 yards, and then if it rolls, it could get closer to 305, 310. But the long hitters can carry it 310, 320 yards, and I'm definitely not one of the longer hitters, but I do hit it relatively straight, and so that's one of my strengths, is definitely driving the ball and putting. Those are my two strengths in golf, and I really, really enjoy hitting the driver. That's like my favorite club in the bag.
Okay, now in Q school, we just have about a minute left, but in Q school, during the second round, you broke your driver?
Well, yeah, in the second stage, so that's a crazy story. I'll try to make it quick. I was actually sick at the second stage of Q school in 2021, and my dad was actually caddying for me. And in the third round of the second stage, right in the middle of the round, my driver broke. And so I had to finish the round with a broken driver. And in the last round, I was very down because I was sick, and I just saw, it was a mountain ahead of me. And my dad went to a local store called Golf Plus in Dothan, Alabama. And he got a rental driver, and the rental driver fit me perfectly. And I ended up getting through the second stage of Q school just because my dad was proactive and went to the golf store and got me a brand new driver.
Amen. Well, we've been talking to Zach Fisher, professional golfer. We've been talking about overcoming adversity, and he has overcome much in his life and in his career. And hey, God has blessed him as he's trusted the Lord, and God will bless you as you trust the Lord. Regardless of what adversities you're facing, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. He will work all things together for good as you trust him and as you love him. Hey, make it a great weekend. God bless you. Go out and shine and share.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.